Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking about biking more to get rich.
Yeah, Joel, you know, long-time listeners will know that biking is a huge part of our lives. We talk about it a good bit here on the show, but I feel like recently we haven't talked about it. It was certainly on our minds way back when we first started the show, because our very first episode was about biking. But now it's been multiple years since we've covered that topic, so we're going to revisit biking and talk about all the different ways that it makes us richer.
Yeah, we definitely talked about it some during the pandemic, because biking was hot, right? And like,
oh, yeah.
It turned out at the beginning, a lot of bike companies were like, oh no, what are we going to do? And then there was like, oh, what we're going to do is have to like double our orders because everybody wants a bike right now. So yeah, we definitely covered that a little bit, but we haven't kind of talked about the economics of biking and the many ways that a bike can fit into your life. It can save you money, but it can do more than that. So we're going to talk about all that in this episode.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the many different ways that you can realize a return on your investment were you to bike more. And I've even called bikes an actual investment before. Actually, I think I used that phrase to justify my bike purchase last year. Remember, I used my Stimmy money to buy my little gravel bike.
Yeah,
and I called it an investment. And I recall you saying, "You're kind of pushing it, buddy. It's not quite an investment, but we are kind of using that language here because we feel that there truly is a return on the money that you put into your bike."
Yeah, and it goes beyond just money savings, right? So
yeah, that's right.
There's a whole host of benefits we get from biking.
Yeah. All right, man. I got a quick little story for you. So as a kid, I think I've shared this before on the show, but anytime my parents would ask for a discount, anytime they would use coupons, anytime they were basically just trying to save money, I was embarrassed. Like as a little kid, I was just so embarrassed that my parents were trying to save money, and I just perceived it to be cheap. So on that note, let me tell you about how I scored a bunch of free Halloween decorations.
And now your kids can be thoroughly embarrassed by you.
Dude, okay, so, you know, folks move and oftentimes will leave a bunch of stuff that they have stored in their basement because they're thinking, all right, we're not going to haul this with us. Or maybe in this case, it was custom or it was specific to that house. But man, so we had some neighbors move and they put out what I'm guessing was close to at least $500 worth of Halloween decorations where I had to go and like buy that stuff new from a Halloween store.
Dang.
Spirit, right? Or whatever the pop-up Halloween stores are. Got like a full-size skeleton, a bunch of like fuzzy spiders, spider web. Even got some, what's that? It's like the liquid that you put into a fog machine.
Okay.
We don't have a fog machine, but I really want one. And I feel like this is even more of an incentive for me to actually look for one maybe before Halloween hits, before the prices go up. And I will say, my kids were pumped. They were not at all in the least embarrassed.
They're not old enough to be embarrassed by
I guess that's it. So yeah, they're not embarrassed.
Middle school age, they'll
yet.
Be so embarrassed by you.
But I guess I just want to point out how I've grown. As a kid, obviously, I was so embarrassed to do stuff like that. But as an adult, man, the lengths I go to save a buck, and I hate seeing stuff on the side of the road that's perfectly good go to waste, right?
Yeah. You don't want the city picking that stuff up,
right?
Tossing it in the trash. Like, if it's usable, if it's useful, then yeah, it's better to reuse it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a chance somebody else would have picked it up as well, but I don't, you know, me picking it up, I made sure that it wasn't going to the landfill, and it's all stuff that we will definitely use this coming Halloween. But like you said, I'm glad to see that my kids right now, that they're not embarrassed, but we will see how long that lasts.
Yeah, as we've grown older, as we have had kids of our own, I feel like a lot of the decisions that my parents made make a whole lot more sense to me now. And I'm like doing a lot of those same things, some of which maybe I said I would never do. I think that's just kind of like part of the circle of life or whatever.
It's just part of growing up, man.
Yeah, you just kind of, you begin to, as you get older, like, oh yeah, my parents, they're not as dumb as I thought they were when I was like 12 or 15 or whatever. They're actually pretty smart. Maybe they had more wisdom than I believe they did. But
yeah, if only middle school Matt could see me now.
Well, congratulations on your Halloween decoration score.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing them up this year.
Halloween in our neighborhood is huge. We've talked about this before on the show as well.
Yeah.
But last year, you know, we thought it was going to be massive because it was going to fall on a Saturday, right? But then with the pandemic, it kind of you know, everyone was on the fence. Should we do Halloween? Shouldn't we do Halloween? And so
it's like the Grinch stole freaking Halloween.
Yeah,
that year,
exactly. But I think that means that this year is going to be pretty huge. I'm looking forward to it already, especially with all the free stuff we scored on the side of the road.
The resurgence of Halloween. I'm ready for it.
Heck yes.
All right. Well, Matt, let's move on. Let's mention the beer we're having on the show. This one is called Double Fruited Boysenberry Blackberry Raspberry Hill by Southern Grist. So lots of different kinds of berries in here, and apparently double fruited. So
double fruited.
I like lots of fruit in my beer. So yeah, we'll let listeners know what we think about this beer at the end of the episode. But for now, let's get on to the topic at hand.
Talk about bikes. You know what I just thought of? If we were really on our game, we would have gotten our hands on some Cycle Brewing beers. Cycle, they're like down in
Florida?
Down in Tampa or St. Pete or whatever. Have you had their beers?
No, I haven't. I've been meaning to.
I've had just a couple of theirs before.
I hear they make good stouts. But I'll have to remedy that and have some of these one of these days.
Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, let's keep going. Let's talk about bikes. And we really do believe that biking more will help you get rich. And Matt, it makes me think, like, my favorite bands and some of my favorite albums of all time, they weren't necessarily my favorites the first time I heard them, right? It took me a while to get acclimated to, let's say, like, I remember one of my friends playing this band Bright Eyes for me back in the day, right? And I was
like, Bright Eyes? Who is Bright Eyes?
This is terrible. I really didn't like it initially. And then I just, like, listened to the album over and over as he was, like, playing it. And I was like, actually, this is really growing on me. And now they're one of my all-time favorite bands, right?
Yeah.
They make some great tunes. And the same thing is true with, like, sour beers. We're drinking a sour beer right now. Right? And I was like, fruited beers, those aren't good. Or, you know, sour beers, those make my lips pucker. I don't think I like them. But over time, they kind of grew on me. And I was like, dang, actually, I've come to really appreciate how tasty these beers are.
Yeah, our tastes change over time. I mean, yeah, I'm with you, man. The very first time I ever had a sour beer was one from New Belgium. And I could barely finish the dang thing because it was, yeah, I mean, in my opinion at the time, so sour. But again, like you said, our tastes change, we come around, we evolve, and it's now one of my favorite styles of beer.
Yeah, and I think on the surface, right, the idea of biking might not sound super appealing to a lot of people. They might think that we're weird or coming out of left field with this. But and someone's initial reaction might be like, maybe that's good for Matt and Joel, but it's not for me. Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk about all of the reasons that biking makes sense for folks who want to save money. And we do believe biking can grow on you, right? Just like a band maybe that you weren't interested in the first time you heard it, or a beer style that you didn't like the first time you tasted it. And then we're also going to talk about the other benefits of biking too. We don't necessarily want to oversell how good biking can be for you, but I actually think it's kind of hard to oversell how good bikes are, Matt, for people, for their lives, and for their ability to save money.
Even if there's a lot of folks out there who don't want to hear us talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, before folks who are listening right now, before you skip on to your next podcast, because maybe you're not into biking, like, I mean, essentially we're pleading with you to have an open mind here. We know that at some point maybe you've decided that biking isn't going to work for you, but it's likely that things have changed for you. And just because maybe you made that decision once, like once upon a time you made this decision, that doesn't mean that you should never revisit the idea again, just, you know, purely based on principle, right? We want you to be open to a little self-experimentation here if you aren't naturally drawn towards biking. For me, I'll say that biking was more like love at first sight, but a lot of folks are only thinking about the things that they don't like when it comes to biking. But there are, like we said, so many benefits that come with biking regularly. Money is only going to be a single factor, and so we're going to spend this episode convincing you why you need to be biking more as we dig into the return on investment and the lifestyle benefits that bikes provide.
All right, so let's first get into the monetary benefits of biking, because this is how to money. And
so we got to start with the money.
Got to start with that. We're going to get to a bunch of other factors that make biking a win-win-win for you. But let's talk about cost savings first. And Matt, I think the biggest potential savings comes if any of our listeners are able to eliminate a car from their lives, right? Like for most people,
like you and your family, yeah, were able to do.
We ditched one car because we bike a whole lot more than we used to. We used to have two cars. And so, yeah, that has come in really handy and saved us a bunch of money. Like AAA runs the numbers every year on what it costs to own and operate a new car, all expenses included. And most people would be shocked to hear this, but AAA says it costs over $9,000 annually to own and maintain that car. That includes fuel, maintenance, insurance, taxes, And of course, the ever pesky depreciation, which is happening usually out of sight, like you're not thinking about it. Although we've randomly been in an inflationary cycle for cars lately, which is surprising to say the least, especially for these used cars. But yeah, $9,000 a year is an incredible sum of money. And to think that by ditching one car from your life, you could save that much is pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And not to mention, too, the time and energy that it takes once your sunroof starts leaking into your car and starts smelling terrible. There are a lot of headaches that accompany vehicles as well.
Yeah, the maintenance associated with a car is certainly a lot more annoying and frustrating than the maintenance associated with a bike. And not everyone is going to ditch a car in favor of biking, right? And they're not going to save that much money. But it is important to note that you can and that's possible. And our family has actually done it. So yeah, but just by going from commuting by your car to commuting by bike, let's say you still keep both cars around that you have in your family, or if you're a single individual, you keep the one car, you don't decide to go down to zero cars in favor of biking all the time. Well, even that is likely to save you at least $1,000 a year, maybe closer to $2,000 a year based on driving your car less. And even that, Matt, that's not chump change. That's some meaningful savings.
Yeah, that's real money right there. And here's the other thing too, is we need to keep in mind how easy it could be for us to adopt biking more often in our lives. Approximately half of all car trips are for short runs to places most likely in your neighborhood that are 4 miles away or less. And bikes are perfect for these trips. The more that you ride, obviously the fewer miles that you're gonna be putting onto your car. And that means less fuel, less frequent repair needs. And if you're able to squeeze the average miles that you drive to under 7,500 miles every year, you'll likely qualify for an additional discount on your insurance. And so that's kind of a, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a fun goal to set for yourself. So you choose to ride your bike more frequently as opposed to just jumping in the car, starting it up and hitting the road. But that's a great way to start biking, right? So looking at those shorter, those easier trips, and we're hoping that will kind of get the ball rolling for you and your biking as well.
And to know that 50% of all the trips you're taking are easy pickings, it's like shooting fish in a barrel with just a ride of a few short miles, I think maybe that's a psychological hurdle that you have to overcome. It's like, okay, yeah, if it's a short trip.
Did you say psychological? Hurdle?
My dad jokes are strong, but not that strong. But yeah, I think, yeah, just reframing and realizing that so many of your trips really aren't that far is going to help you maybe hop on your bike next time as opposed to hopping in the car. And also, you know, while the initial cost of buying a bike, getting the gear that you need can set you back a bit, each successive year that you bike will essentially amortize those costs, right? By year two of biking, you'll be saving big money. And also, bikes, really, they're the kings of efficiency. Matt, there's no more efficient mode of transportation. Nothing beats the humble old bicycle, right?
Unless you had wings and you could just like glide on the, what, I don't know, upstream. What is it called when like the...
Okay, so if I got turned into a hawk, then I would
the
be
jet
more efficient.
Stream, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I've always wanted to be a hawk. They're cool.
Sure, yeah,
Cool creatures.
Use gravity and air.
But yeah, biking is even more efficient than walking, right? It's 5 times more efficient than walking.
Yeah.
And riding a bike takes 50 to 80 times less energy than driving a car when you're going an equal distance.
Wow.
So yes, since we're fans of efficiency in general, I feel like this is a solid selling point for bikes too, right? It's just like incredibly efficient. If you also are a fan of efficiency, know that, well, the bike, it's the king of efficiency. Like I can't think of many other things that provide such efficiency, you know, for the cost that you pay.
Absolutely. I feel like any engineer out there should be like, yep, all right, I have to bike because it is the most efficient, and you know, you always have to go the most efficient path. And you know, Joel, too, this is assuming that someone listening, that they don't already have a pretty good bike that's maybe just sitting in their garage, you know, just waiting to be ridden. But either way, like, we're not saying that it's completely free to ride and maintain a bike, but the costs of an annual tune-up are literal cents on the dollar compared to the ongoing costs of maintaining an automobile. And, you know, if you wanted to, you could even fully eliminate that additional cost of maintenance just by watching a few YouTube videos online, having a friend come over to show you the ropes. Like, honestly, if you just know how to adjust your brakes every now and then, or, you know, just adjust your shifters, your derailleurs, then you are going to be golden, because oftentimes those are the main things that need to be looked at. And so cost, that is one major aspect of how biking is going to allow you to get more rich, how it's going to grow your financial wealth. But we'll also discuss more benefits and how to incorporate biking into your lifestyle right after this break.
All right, we're back from the break, and we're going to talk about some of the other benefits of bicycling more frequently. There are a lot of them, and we'll also kind of maybe tackle some of the excuses in just a second that people might have, like, well, it's not for me, guys. Like, of course, I can't participate in biking because this, or this reason.
Yeah. Well, maybe like no shade towards you guys, but I'm not going to do it. and here's why.
And so hopefully if you have one of these excuses in your mind, you know, we'll be able to tackle it preemptively so that you can actually hop on a bike still. But Matt, yeah, we were just talking about the numbers, and it's interesting too, because yeah, the affordability of biking is obviously one of the number one reasons we're in favor of people biking more. You know, spending $9,000 a year in order to get from point A to point B, it should sound like a lot of money to people, because it's a ton of money.
Yeah, it
right.
Is.
That's a huge percentage of people's take-home pay in an average year. Transportation is one of the most expensive line items in everyone's budget. And just think about what you could do if you had an extra $750 a month back in your life. I mean, I think too, that is one of the ways I think that bikes can be a selling point. It's like, that much money is legit. Like, you can do a whole lot of unique, fun, interesting stuff in your life if you aren't shelling that out for a car every single month. But let's take a look at the numbers and see what that would actually get you to. Because if you were to take that $750 a month and invest it in the market instead, you're looking at having over $125,000 over just 10 years, earning 7%. And let's say you did that for a working career of 37 years, which is the length of time between graduating and being able to draw on retirement funds in a Roth IRA. Well, we're talking about nearly $1.5 million, right?
So that's so much money, dude.
When you put it in that stark contrast, in those terms, it's like, okay, biking, maybe that's actually a really good idea for me, because I didn't realize, one, it was going to save that much money, and I didn't realize that if I started to invest that money instead, that I was going to be able to make some life-changing moves. Maybe my car is not as good of a move as I thought it was. Maybe I should think again.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a massive amount of money to pay for, like, I think what some people would just call the stock traditional lifestyle, right? Where you have a car, you've got to maintain these payments on it. Obviously, it takes gas in order to get it from point A to point B. It takes insurance. All these things that go into just operating a vehicle is much bigger than we realize. So yeah, sometimes you got to just crunch those numbers as a wake-up call. And, you know, we want you to save and invest your money. And therefore, we want you to ride your bike on a good bit more of those trips that you're taking. But there are so many other reasons why you should be biking more. And so let's talk about those. And so the health benefits that biking provides is kind of an obvious one, right? But biking more often truly is great for your overall health. If you bike enough, you can ditch your gym membership as well. And, you know, when your favorite mode of transportation also replaces that gym that you used to go to, that you used to have to pay to go to, that is like some real life synergy going on right there.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing more frustrating to me than like hearing somebody that like pays for an expensive gym membership and they drive to get there. Just kind of, I don't know, man, it just blows my mind every time I hear that.
The worst is when people go to those in-person cycling classes that cost like $100-something a month, really fancy ones. I've never been in one of those. So
yes, you've been to, you had a coworker who had like a birthday party at a spin place.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess I did it that one time for her birthday. And I was like,
Instead of going to like laser tag when you're a kid, like now you're going to like,
It's not like it wasn't any
bicycling
fun,
class.
But it certainly wasn't worth $100+ a month. And I was like, I'd honestly rather just be on my bike outside. But yeah, I think, and I don't want to hate on anybody that does that, but it's just, when you think about
there's additional motivation. I know that comes with going to those classes. Like, I don't at all want to discount the accountability that provides. Right?
Exactly. But I think as people who are avid bikers, like we want people to be outdoors on their bikes, to think about going indoors and paying that much money is just kind of hard for me to fathom.
It's true. And when you bike more often, right, the likelihood that you're going to save on healthcare costs just over the decades is pretty high if you ride your bike regularly as well. And so I think, you know, you hear the old saying, an apple a day, like how that keeps the doctor away. I feel like it's more likely that a bike ride a day is likely going to benefit your
health.
Yes.
Can we change that?
I think so. I
mean, a bike ride a day keeps the doctor away. I like that.
And of course, you know, we can't give you a specific number as to how much, you know, your health is going to increase. We can't let you know
how many calories you're going to burn in a day.
Right. Well, you know. I guess you could, you know, little calculators.
You can calculate some of that. Yeah. But you can't be like, I've just extended my life this many years.
Exactly. Or I have lost X number of pounds, right? Who knows? And actually, maybe you'll even just gain a little bit of weight because like all those muscles you're going to develop in your legs. But the more fit you are, you know, the better off you're going to be. And riding a bike is some top-notch cardio. Not to mention, too, man, just the additional mental benefits that come with riding your bike, right? Just kind of getting out on the road, the ability to, well, first of all, like when I don't want to get too detailed here, but like when you're commuting by car, you're always like on the interstate typically, right? Or state highways where there's a lot of congestion. But when you're riding your bike, you're on like surface streets, like slower streets, and you're not in traffic. So you get to just ride. And with that ride often comes like this mental refreshing that takes place.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a physical health component and a mental health component to riding bikes, right?
Yeah.
It's both.
Yes.
And again, it's hard to quantify like both of those and give you any sort of specific number for how it's going to help. But biking definitely, I mean, it's increased, you know, my fitness level. And it's also just, yeah, made me feel better mentally. Because I know, like my wife would literally say, if I would come home after biking home from work, or if I came home after, you know, 35, 40 minutes stuck in the car on the way home from work, she was like, you're so much more irritable.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She could tell. She could totally tell an attitude difference as I walked through the door. I was more frustrated as opposed to, I just like burned off all that steam on a bike ride. I might have been a little bit tired, but I wasn't like angry, you know?
Hey, I'd rather be a little tired than angry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Me too. And so I think, yeah, one of the next additional benefits of biking is that it's fun, right? It really is. Like if you haven't hopped on your bike in a while, you might just assume that it's for kids, right? Watching Stranger Things, like that's one of our favorite things, watching the kids ride around their bikes, and you're like, all right, great, that's like the perfect way for like 7 to 13 year olds to get around
in the late 80s.
Exactly. Yeah, you might think
the kids today play Minecraft.
right and you might think that you're too old for that or something, but that's just not true, right? We see groups of riders around town all the time, and Matt, it's not like we're living in Copenhagen. Like,
no.
There's just literally,
not
I was
at all.
I was going to pick up a U-Haul truck downtown recently, and there was this massive group of bike riders, and I was like smiling the whole time as they're going by, because it was like 70 or 80 people in one group, and I don't know where they were riding to or what they were up to, but they looked like they were having fun.
Yeah, and those kind of bikers too are a little more serious, you know? Like, those folks sometimes, well, that being said, I mean, you kind of have like the critical mass groups where it looks like a bunch of hipsters. But then sometimes you have like a bunch of boomers and they're, you know, they've kind of got like more of their biking outfits on and whatnot. But either way, regardless of how old they are, they're all having a ton of fun.
I'd bike with either one of those groups.
Dude, yeah. I feel like we could easily fall into one category or the other.
But I might not necessarily wear spandex to go biking.
Oh, please. One of these days you might.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
As we get older, I don't know.
But I feel like that, yeah, I see those people riding and they're like joking and they're talking to each other. Like it's still, people are able to enjoy riding together. You know, bikes don't have to be isolating. And plus too, right, you can get places you wouldn't otherwise be able to get when you're biking versus being in your car, right? In Atlanta, Matt, we have the Beltline, which is just this old railroad track that's been converted to like just this fancy walking path, essentially.
Yeah.
Walking a biking path that helps people get around town.
Essentially like a rails to trails program.
Yeah.
And
you can't drive a car on the Beltline, but you can ride your bike. And there are other...
You could try to drive your car on the Beltline, but you'd probably get arrested.
Yeah, you get in big trouble. But yeah, there's just so many places that a bike can take you, and fun places that a bike can take you that a car just can't.
Yeah, it makes me think of a recent listener question that we had. They were asking about some just more affordable activities that they could do with their friends that doesn't just involve going to a restaurant, dropping a bunch of money, or just going, you know, meeting up at a coffee shop, you know, spending way too much money on fancy coffees. The act of riding a bike together is just, you know, can be so much fun. And it makes me think as well about traveling, right? Kate and I have rented bikes before when we go to different cities that we're exploring. And just traveling by bike is just a fun way to get to know a city. And so whether that means just a road trip where you throw the bikes on the back of the car, or, you know, again, most cities have these bike share programs where you can just pay a little bit and have access, you know, to a bike for like 30 minutes, and that gets you from one place to the next. I remember, again, doing that and having a blast doing that in D.C. back in the day. It was an amazing way to get to see all the different sites. It helped us to get a feel for kind of the mall and just all the different things that were there in D.C. That we wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. And so not only does it allow you to experience a new location or a new city in an awesome way, but it allows you to experience your own neighborhood quite a bit differently. You know, when you bike through it versus driving, like it allows you to literally smell the roses. You get to experience all the different smells when you're on a bike. And, you know, I even find myself waving at neighbors a little bit more, even stopping to chat. When you're driving, you're basically just kind of getting from one place to the next, you know, like anything that stands between you and your destination is sort of a hindrance. And if you do see somebody and you pull over, it's like, hey, is everything okay? Like, I feel like folks are like, why did you stop?
Or then there's another car coming behind you and they're like, get out of my way.
Yeah, it's just like a nuisance as opposed to just being able to pull over on the bike. It's just so much more fun. So biking kind of gives you this more visceral feeling for the place that you call home. And it just fosters the type of community that I know that we're looking for. for where we live. So, for instance, like if they're going to add another lane to a local road, I would be completely bummed out. That just tells me there's going to be more traffic, more people cutting through. However, when I hear that there's going to be a new bike lane coming in, I get pumped because I know that means there's going to be more folks enjoying the neighborhood, talking to each other, treating each other with respect, which is oftentimes hard to do when you're driving around in these metal boxes.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like if you build it, they will come. And I think, yeah, more bike infrastructure just means more people will then feel comfortable. Because sometimes, that you know, that's one of the excuses we're going to get to a little bit later. But when there isn't enough of that infrastructure, it's definitely, it's a reasonable and understandable excuse.
Sure.
And I think some, you know, cities prioritizing that is a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
It makes us more comfortable to get that out there on two wheels. Also, bikes are a big winner when it comes to your impact on the environment. Right? They don't pollute the air, no fossil fuels are consumed. But it goes beyond that, right? Because noise pollution is a big deal in a whole lot of cities too. Fewer cars and more bikes cuts down on that. Bikes can also reduce the need for car infrastructure, like we were just talking about, which can be costly. It can be an eyesore. So it can, you know, create not just savings in your own personal wallet, but citywide savings too. Like the more bikes that are on the road, the fewer road improvements that are going to have to be done over the course of years. So yeah, bikes can be a big deal when it comes to cutting down on pollution where you live and cutting down on the budgets of some of the municipalities where you live.
Exactly. Yeah. So folks might be saying, all right, Joel and Matt, thanks for your take on bikes. We know that you love bikes, but I've got a few reasons that it's just not going to work for me. And so we've actually decided to kind of do this preemptive strike to respond to whatever excuses folks out there might have. And oftentimes I feel that one of the excuses we hear folks give is that they are transporting too much stuff. I can't use my bike for grocery shopping. Have you seen my last grocery run, right? Or I can't take the kids to school on a bike. Well, you know, it does depend on how much you're getting at the store and how many kids you have. If you're running up to Costco, it might be difficult to load your bike up with, you know, a massive month-long run of Costco groceries.
I will say, I've not taken my bike to Costco yet. So.
Well, I mean, we live a long ways from a Costco. Yeah. So, and that's a reasonable excuse. But if you don't go to the store, if you don't go to Costco all that often, this isn't something that should be a deal breaker, right?
Yeah. Well, we're also not trying to convince you to take your bike on every single trip ever.
Sure.
Like, there is a place for cars. We're just trying to convince you to bike more.
Exactly. And just as far as a basic run to the grocery store, so say like the next time I'm going to go to Aldi, I'm likely going to take my bike. And the answer to how do I get all that stuff home are pannier bags. They are a great way for helping you to transport loads of stuff like the food that you just bought at the grocery store. And then when it comes to kids, Joel, you and I, we both have cargo bikes, and they are awesome for hauling small kids. I can get all three of my girls on our bike and, you know, make the runs to the different schools. So, you know, I feel like this excuse that I'm transporting too much stuff, this kind of rates maybe like a 4 out of 10 for accuracy, because there are solutions to the conundrum of transporting kids as well as other stuff. We haven't even touched on the subject of getting bike trailers. This isn't something that you and I have ever done, but we see folks riding around with bike trailers, these little, you know, trailers hooked up to the bikes and allows them to haul all sorts of stuff. I've seen folks do that at Lowe's before, where they're loading up plants for their yard on this little platform that's got its own wheels that they hook up to their bike. That certainly takes another level of commitment, but the option is out there.
Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way, right? And
yeah,
to see how some people in our town get around via their bike pretty much in every circumstance, it's like admirable, and it makes me want to like even up my biking game even more, right?
Yes.
And yeah. I think another, Matt, popular excuse that people might give is, I can't show up sweaty to work. I've definitely heard this one before. People are like, oh, that's nice that you bike, but I can't be sweaty and disgusting.
I've got a real job.
Yeah, I've got important meetings at 9 a.m. and so I cannot do what you do. But I think there's a solution for that too, right? Like, does your work have a shower? Can you bring a change of clothes? Can you bike a little slower? Like, all of those things are going to help you show up without being just a sweaty mess, right? And I think also another solution is that e-bikes, they're a great middle ground for lots of folks because you won't have to provide nearly as much exertion. They really can be this perfect solution for a whole lot of folks. I think that's part of why we're in the middle of kind of an e-bike boom,
yeah,
that people are starting to adopt them because they're saying, actually, that is going to fit for my lifestyle. I won't have to be crazy sweaty by the time I get into work. But at the same time, there's a little bit of help pushing me along as well, right? So
yeah.
I would rate this excuse maybe like a 3 out of 10 because there are ways to cut some of the sweatiness out of your bike commute. You don't have to be pedaling like you would be in like a SoulCycle class, right? It doesn't have to be.
That's what it's called, SoulCycle.
Yeah. You don't have to be going, you know, all out. You're still going to realize a whole lot of physical benefits just by biking at a moderate pace.
Totally, yeah. And one of the other excuses, too, that we often hear is that it just takes too long to get there by bike. And, you know, if you commute, like, over 30 miles on the interstate every day by car, then, you know, this excuse is likely totally true. We'll give you a pass, right? But it turns out that the average speed of a car around town is 18 miles per hour, while the average speed of a biker on a bicycle is 15 miles per hour. There is this study of bike commuters done in Lyon, France, and it found that bike commuters were faster during rush hour than folks who were driving their car. So it actually reversed the trend slightly there. And so if you aren't one of those people who has a lengthy interstate commute, and instead maybe you're stuck in in-town traffic and you kind of keep telling yourself how much quicker you are getting places in your car, realize that this is likely not true. Man, I found that for me, just hopping on the bike and running an errand up to East Atlanta Village or running to Aldi for us has been just about the same. It's going to take about the same amount of time that it would take were I to just jump in the car. And then some shorter runs that I have to make, like just running over to y'all's place, something like that, I swear it would take longer for me to get in the vehicle, get in the van, like back it up out of the driveway, you know, drive down the street as opposed to just grab my bike and going. I love the immediacy that biking provides.
Not to mention the lack of parking concerns, which in a lot of in-town areas can be a real big deal.
Yeah.
Where if you pull up on your bike instead, it's like you go straight up to a bike rack, you lock up, and
park
you're
wherever you want, man.
You're in the place of business where you're going. It just makes it way easier. And a lot of places in town Atlanta, they're charging for parking now. And so you save money that way, too.
That's right.
And Matt, I think another major excuse is I can't bike here where I live because the weather isn't good enough. You know, where you live certainly plays a role in this excuse. I don't mind biking when it gets really hot in Atlanta. Like some people are like, oh, it's 95 degrees. I don't want to bike. And I'm like, I don't mind it. But I do hate biking in January. Like I really don't like biking in the cold.
I think I'm like more the opposite. Like
oh, really?
I don't mind riding in the summer if I know I don't have to, you know, talk to anybody for like the next 15 minutes. Because I just know I'm going to be dripping sweat.
Yeah.
Just full on. But in the winter, I just bundle up. I love the idea of knowing that the exertion that I'm providing and like by pedaling the bike, that's literally making me warmer.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that just like, oh, it's like the natural order of things, you know.
I feel like if I lived in Minnesota, I'd be a pathetic bike commuter, but I'd still give it a go.
There's people who do that though.
I mean, know, like, it's impressive.
When Kate and I, we visited Portland, Maine, and we rented bikes from this dude that has a little bike rental company, and he was talking about he lives across the river, and even in the winter, in the middle of the winter, he bikes to work. He has a different job in the winter because nobody wants to rent bikes in the winter,
right?
But it's definitely still possible.
Yeah, but I think what people have to realize is that there are lots of ways you can combat the weather, right? Like including the gear that you wear. A nice pair of gloves makes a huge difference for those cold weather rides. I remember like I was like, oh, that's the first thing that gets cold is your fingertips. Like
Yeah. You
definitely got to have some good gloves there, a good rain jacket, set of rain pants so that you can, you know, ride in the rain without becoming like a sloppy, soggy mess. It really comes down to, in a lot of ways, just getting some gear that's going to help you power through. And that gear maybe looks expensive on its face, but yeah, when you talk about not putting those miles on your car or potentially being able to get rid of a car, that gear is incredibly inexpensive in the scheme of things.
That's right. Plus, even if you did get a little bit wet, I mean, you're just sitting there working a little bit and you're a little soggy and your coworkers might like, you know, talk bad about you. But if you don't have like a client sort of facing job, what's it matter if you're just like a little damp, whether it be from sweat or the rain, right?
Or a mixture of both.
And, you know, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, Joel, just like kind of the lack of like bike lanes or infrastructure. That is often another common excuse that can certainly make it a little tougher to commute by bike. Atlanta, for instance, is not known as a great city for biking, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it can't be done. And things are improving, right? Because folks like us support the Atlanta Bike Coalition. And Joel, here's another thing. This might sound drastic, but we even feel that it's worth reconsidering where you live. We feel that the benefits of biking are so massive that planning your housing in order to live in a more bikeable area can be worthwhile. But maybe that's not the boat you're in. Maybe you don't want to move. But even still, right, cars, they have to share the roads with bikes. And so obviously wear a good fitting helmet, but then make sure that you have lights to increase your visibility. When you're on roads that aren't necessarily made for bikers, you can still be on those roads, but make sure you've got the flashing red light on the back of your bike. Make sure you've got a light on the front of it that's super bright that also flashes. Being visible and having an ability to see things on the road is hugely important, especially when you're commuting on a daily basis to work.
Yeah, no doubt. And Matt, one final excuse I think I hear people say, and it it's probably an excuse I gave back in the day was like, well, I don't want to wear spandex. I don't want to look like one of those goofballs, you know, who's like,
you said that earlier, but I feel like I truly could see you one of these days, like getting the kind of spandex get up.
I'm so tall. It's going to look awkward, I think. But like, I don't necessarily consider myself a quote unquote cyclist. Like, I'm not going out there like doing 50 mile rides on the weekends.
No,
that's not my jam. It's kind of more of a to and fro point A to point B device.
Like, it's a more practical approach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I think, yeah, you don't have to adopt that lifestyle. You don't have to be that person. You can just wear normal clothes and opt to ride a bike instead of driving a car. You don't necessarily have to get into cycling culture to adopt that, like, more of a bike-loving lifestyle.
Yeah, all you have to do is just get on your bike and start, like, riding. That's how you be, like, for you, like, that can be cycling culture for you. Just see it as, like, almost as, like, a way of life as opposed to an activity. You know, it's not, like, something that you do. You're not going to go biking. Although you can, if you want
to. You don't have to, like, put the bike on the roof of your car and drive somewhere and then take it off and then go for a ride.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, okay, instead of, you know, driving to the store, I'm going to get on my bike and ride to the store. It's a very unglamorous, like, non-sexy way of embracing biking, but it's a way that is going to save you serious money plus all the other benefits that we've mentioned. So now that we've debunked some of those different excuses, we've covered the different benefits, we're going to talk about how you can start incorporating biking into your daily life, and we'll get to that right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back. We've covered a lot of benefits of biking so far, and we've debunked some of the excuses. Maybe they're not as good of excuses as were previously thought to be. And now somebody might be saying, well, I don't have a bike, or my bike is old and it's crusty. I need something new. And, you know, I
like
think
some old leftovers in the fridge, kind of crusty.
And, you know, maybe your bike, it needs a little bit of work, or if you don't own one, maybe you need to buy one. So let's kind of get into that too, because, yeah, you might need to get out there on the market and find a bike so that you can make biking more of a regular occurrence in your life, right? One of the things that's important to mention is that you might be able to fix up the bike that you currently own, right? If it's got a flat tire or the chain is just rusty, those are pretty easy fixes. You can maybe take it to your local bike shop or watch a couple of YouTube videos that are going to help you figure out how to do some of that minor work to your bike yourself. So I wouldn't necessarily just discard the bike that you've got without maybe, you know, taking a look and seeing if it's got some life left in it. But let's say you either don't have one or your bike is past its prime and it's not going to work out for you. Buying a used bike is a good way to go. And, you know, while biking has gained quite a bit of steam during the pandemic, a lot of new bikes were sold, bike companies experiencing, you know, record numbers of orders. I'm sure some of those folks who got excited to get on their bike are already tired of it, right? And they're more likely to spend some of their money on travel now that it's allowed. And they're like,
they're looking at the next hot thing.
Yeah, they're like, maybe I can get $500 for this $1,000 bike I just bought, or, you know, $200 for the $500 bike I just bought. And so you might start seeing more listings popping up on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. So yeah, search those sites in order to find a bike that's going to work for you. And of course, buying used is going to save you more money than buying new.
That's right. Yeah. So obviously start with what you have already at home, but if you don't have a good option at home, look to buying used, but you can also buy new. You can buy a new bike as well, right? That's not a bad idea, and you can do it well. REI is a great place to buy a bike. This that's where I purchased my bike last spring. But I've also purchased a bike from Bikes Direct. It's just an awesome online site. I've had multiple friends purchase bikes from them, and you can get a really great deal because they offer great bikes at an incredible discount. Essentially, there's no middleman. You're essentially buying straight from the manufacturer themselves. And it does require a small amount of DIY. There's a little bit of assembly required, but here is why I'm going to convince you that that's a good thing. And first of all, that's because it's not that hard. It really just involves screwing some pedals on, cranking those on, getting your handlebar.
If you put something together from IKEA, you can do this.
Exactly. I think so. And the reason I think this is good is because it gives you a little bit of sweat equity. And so just by having done that yourself.
Some familiarity with your new ride.
Exactly. Yeah. You're familiar with some of the tools already. And oftentimes they will ship the bike with tools. It's definitely something to check and something to look into. But I think that's going to cause you to be more likely to work and tinker on your bike in the future, saving you potentially even more money, right? If you're like, oh man, my brakes, I'm kind of like squeezing it all the way down, you know, down to the grips, and I'm like barely slowing down. It's like, okay, cool. All you really need to do is just kind of adjust the little spacer on your, you know, on your brakes. Or if you've already done that once, it's like, okay, maybe I should put that back and actually tighten the cable. Like, these are all things that you figure out slowly, and it starts by, you know, just some simple tinkering around with your bike. And I think that initial assembly can be a good way for you to personally get familiar with the mechanics of your bike.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
And let's say someone is looking to buy a new e-bike, right? Well, that's going to set you back a little more money, right? Because the battery, the motor, all the extra components that go into making an e-bike do make them more expensive than traditional bikes. But yeah, there's a great place to go. Electricbikereview.com is one of my favorite sites for researching e-bikes. It's super unbiased. This guy, Court, he reviews all the bikes personally, and he does a great job writing up the reviews, creating long-form YouTube videos, like showing you exactly how these bikes work. So I would suggest going there. And
like almost sounds like a dream job to us, yeah, as like fans of biking, and as you in particular, you know, as a huge fan of electric bikes. It might only be like second only to like beer review site or something like that.
Maybe I can be like the Charlie Bucket to his Willy Wonka and I can take over his operation someday.
Exactly.
That'd be fun. But I also wrote an article recently about riding a Radwagon. That's the electric bike that I'm a big fan of and that I've been riding for about 4 years now. So we'll link to that article that discusses all the benefits of that bike in particular. But really, yeah, if you're looking for an e-bike, there are so many more choices than there used to be. Like 3 or 4 years ago, there weren't that many, and they weren't nearly as good as they are. They've improved so much, and the prices are actually kind of getting more competitive. So I would say, yeah, check out that site, check out the article I wrote, and hopefully that'll guide you in the right direction as you're looking to find the e-bike that's best going to fit kind of your lifestyle and how you want to bike. But one of the great things about e-bikes, Matt, is I think we'll get a lot of people on the road that otherwise wouldn't, because that's one of those excuses, right? And for some people, especially as they age, it's more difficult to get out there on an actual bike.
Yeah.
And an e-bike just allows a much wider range of folks to actually enjoy biking that might not be able to otherwise.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we don't hate at all on e-bikes. I think there's some like purists out there who are just like, oh no, that's cheating, you know, like using the battery or whatever. But as long as you're pedaling, I mean, I see some guys just literally just like their feet aren't moving at all and they're just like throttling it. Like in my mind, that's like an electric scooter, basically.
Yeah. But I don't like seeing that either.
Yeah. But I love the accessibility and how it's going to mean that more folks are going to be on their bikes. And so let's talk about how to incorporate biking into your commuting routine a little more easily. Start off slow, and you can do this by getting around your neighborhood by bike. Like we said, you know, half of your driving is likely done within 4 miles of your home. So dip your toes in the water by just getting your bike out on the road for some of those easy trips. There's no need to jump on your bike for this massive 13-mile one-way commute to work tomorrow morning. It'll probably turn you off from biking in general because maybe you haven't thought about the different things that you're going to learn as you start to ride a bike more.
Or the route you want to take, and you're like trying to figure that out on the fly while you're trying to get to work on time.
Or you're
that's
like,
no fun.
Yeah, or you're like, oh man, I didn't bring a lock. Like, how am I supposed to? like, there's just small little things that you realize once you get more used to riding. And we're not going to cover all those little things, but you can learn all of these things yourself by just starting out small.
Yeah, I think one other way to incorporate biking into your commuting routine is to take some low stress, low pressure rides, right? And if you think that commuting to work is a real possibility for you, I would suggest giving it a try on the weekend first.
Yeah.
Right? So Monday,
well, less traffic, right?
Yeah, less traffic. You know, Monday morning, that ride can be daunting. If
everybody's like honking at you because you haven't ridden a bike in like 10 years.
Yeah, and you haven't given that route a go yet. So you can kind of familiarize yourself with the route instead of being under the crunch to get to work on time. And make sure to check out Google Maps. They do a great job helping you find the best route to take your bike on. It's likely going to be different than the route that you take in your car. That route might not be the best route on a bike. So yeah, I would say don't prioritize the route that has the fewest amount of miles. Choose the one that's going to be safer for you and hopefully one with fewer hills too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hills in a car, not a big deal. Hills on a bike, you know, if there's a bunch of them, can really wear you out.
Absolutely. And the one other thing too, as you start to think about biking more, especially biking to work, if you decide that commuting is working out for you and you're excited to get into regular bike riding, you might want to upgrade your bike at some point. Having a lightweight bike will allow you to travel faster and enjoy biking even more. And so on one hand, we don't want you to go out and buy a $1,500 bike tomorrow before you start to actually use the one that you already have or before you even take the first bike ride. But it's also important not to cheap out if you're going to bike consistently, right? So a heavy bike with just basic components will, I think that'll quickly become frustrating to ride. And ultimately, that might end up discouraging you from riding at all. And that's what we're trying to avoid here.
It's like going out there and trying to play disc golf with one of those, you know, Whammo discs that really it's meant for ultimate frisbee.
Or like an ultimate disc, yeah.
Yeah. And like, no, you need
you
disc golf discs.
You can, but it's not going to be nearly as effective at, you know, driving down the fairway.
And pretty soon you're just going to like lose all joy in doing it because you're like, I see these other guys out here throwing it. They're getting to the hole in three. It takes me six strokes. Like it's just not fun. And you need the proper equipment in order to do it well. And I think the same thing can be true of biking. Like you don't want to go all in and buy an expensive bike before you're ready, but you want to make sure your equipment is decent and that having a crummy bike isn't going to continue to be the excuse to keep you from biking.
Absolutely.
And so at some point you might have to put some money into that in order to make sure that you're riding on something that's going to get you excited to get out there on the road.
Well, and this isn't to say that you can't find a great bike for $500, right? Like from Bikes Direct, you can get a solid, awesome, great commuter bike that you can ride to and from work for years and years.
I'm riding a free hand-me-down bike, and I'm still riding the same one, and it's awesome.
But it's also a nice bike that you happen to get free. But that being said, if you find yourself drawn to biking and you're enjoying it more and more, well, you can sell that $500 bike, you know, maybe do a $1,100 upgrade, get that $1,500 bike if you're able to maybe sell your old bike for like, say, $400. But that $1,100 right there is a small amount of money compared to the vast amount of money that you're going to save over the years. And so we're trying to make sure that you are equipped to be able to do this in a way that's effective and in a way that you're actually going to be able to stick with.
Yeah. So, yeah, to sum it up, we're talking about biking more to get rich. That was the title of this episode, Matt. And I feel like, you know, biking has been a lifestyle game changer for my family, but it's also been a personal finance game changer for our family. It's allowed us to own only one car, which has been awesome. But I feel like even more important than that, if someone were to say, you know, what are the best things about biking? The first things I would say wouldn't be financial. They would be the memories that I've made with my family on bikes. And so like on a Saturday, if we're going to a playground, we don't hop in the car anymore. We hop on bikes.
Yeah.
And it kind of helps define the day for us in a positive way. And instead of waiting in the carpool line for my kids, you know, behind 58 other cars, you know, idling as our kids run out to hop in the van, we you and I ride up there together on our bikes and we pick up our kids.
And we talk the whole way there and we're hanging out there with other folks. And sure, we're a little bit sweaty and I think some of the parents look at us funny, but man, it's such a better way for us to live life. At least we feel it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's really not possible to calculate the, you know, ROI of owning a decent bike and riding it consistently. But there are so many benefits that you get from biking on the reg. And I don't even know if we did bikes justice with today's episode, but hopefully we did. And hopefully, you know, our listeners are more encouraged to go hop on their own bikes. Maybe this week, this weekend, I hope, and maybe start kicking the tires on biking more regularly as like a lifestyle choice.
That's right. It's going to save you money. And just even aside from the money, man, it makes me think of like the last couple gatherings we've done with a bunch of dudes. A few months back for your birthday, we got a bunch of guys together and we went riding. We rode to a brewery before we rode somewhere else, you know, for a bonfire that night. A friend of ours had a baby shower recently. We rode to this taco truck, basically, had a bunch of tacos. Then we rode to another brewery from there. And then that night, you know, we rode home. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
just getting a bunch of folks together like that and riding around town. And so at the core of it, this is a money show, but there are, again, so many benefits that riding bikes can bring you. But man, let's quickly get back to the beer that we enjoyed this episode. You and I shared a double fruited boysenberry, blackberry, raspberry Hill. And this is from Southern Grist Brewing Company. These guys are out of Nashville, Tennessee. What were your thoughts on this sour?
Man, I thought it was a little sweet, a little sour. It had like some smoothie kind of notes going on
to it.
Yeah, like my wife makes smoothies for the kids like a lot of days.
Yeah, we've been doing that a lot lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It tastes like one of those, I think, in a lot of ways, like a beer smoothie. and I think there was just so much fruit in there.
In fact, it truly was double fruited, right?
it really was. So it was this nice blending of like three different kinds of fruits. I think I was getting more of the blackberry and the boysenberry. But I think, man, it was well balanced. But again, I love fruited beers. And so, yeah, this one is definitely right up my alley.
Yeah, the first thing I noticed when we poured it is that I love when the label, like the color of the beer is like the same color as the label.
Yeah.
And it 100% was. Like when I poured them and I was looking at them right next to each other, like there's no surprise as to what you're going to get. You know, like when you pour a beer and it's like not the color you're expecting, you're kind of always thinking, oh, that's not what I was expecting. Or like that happened one time with like a strawberry beer. We poured it and it's like, oh, It's just regular beer colored. It wasn't it wasn't red. And so obviously to get a berry loaded beer like this with that much color, I'm a huge fan of synchronizing those colors like that. So Southern Grist, I know you're not listening, but good job. And we would highly recommend this beer if you like fruited sours. But Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. You can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com, and we'll make sure to link to any of the different resources that we mentioned, including that article that Joel wrote about his Radwagon, as well as that bike review site too.
All right, man. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.